You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. And just another reminder, we will not be having a show Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. We are on a summer schedule, and Friday studio is closed. We're obviously closed on the 4th for the 4th of July, and I'm taking a day off tomorrow. So this will be the last show until next Monday. But because we're approaching the Independence Day, 4th of July holiday, I like to play for you the true meaning of Independence Day. Now, a couple of years ago, I played this, but I really think you need to remind yourself of what are we celebrating? Now, we like fireworks in the evening, especially in Dallas. People go to certain areas to watch a magnificent display of pyrotechnics, firecrackers going off, and I think that's much safer than have your children lighting them and throwing them, because when I was a kid, I did that, but I was overseas, especially I was in Taiwan, and you could get a lot of firecrackers there, and that's the original source of firecrackers. And people, if they're not traveling somewhere for the weekend, you know, typically in Texas, barbecue is very, very big, so people go out for barbecue or go in the backyard and put some coal in their barbecue set and eat some barbecue. That's very popular in Texas. But that's not the meaning of Independence Day, and I just wanted to remind you by playing a couple of clips. This is from June of 2008, so this is 11 years old, so it's a little dated. Not the meaning of Independence Day is not dated, but the reference to the number of Independence Days that we've celebrated. So please listen to Dr. Michael Berliner.
America's cities and towns will soon fill with parades, fireworks, and barbecues. They will be celebrating the 4th of July, this the 232nd birthday of America. But one hopes that the speeches will contain fewer bromides and more attention to exactly what is being celebrated. The 4th of July is Independence Day, but America's leaders and intellectuals have been trying to move us further and further away from the meaning of Independence Day, away from the philosophy that created this country. What we hear from politicians, intellectuals, and the media is that independence is passé, that we've reached a new age of interdependence. We hear demands for mandatory volunteering to serve others, for sacrifice to the nation. We hear demands from trustbusters that successful companies be punished for being greedy and not serving society. But this is not the message of America. In fact, it is the direct opposite of why America became a beacon of hope for the oppressed throughout the world. They have come here to escape poverty and dictatorship. They have come here to lead their own lives where they aren't owned by the state, the community, or the tribe. Independence Day is a critically important name for a holiday. It signifies the fundamental meaning of this nation. The American Revolution remains unique in human history, a revolution and a nation founded on a moral principle, the principle of individual rights. Jefferson at Philadelphia, and Washington at Valley Forge pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. For what? Not for a mere separation from England. Not, like most rebels, for the freedom to set up their own tyranny. In fact, Britain's tyranny over the colonists was mild compared to what most current governments do to their citizens. Jefferson and Washington fought a war for the principle of independence, meaning the moral right of an individual to live his own life as he sees fit. Independence was proclaimed in the Declaration as the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What are these rights? The right to life means that every individual has a right to his own independent life, that your life belongs to you, not to others to use as they see fit. The right to liberty means the right to freedom of action, to act on your own judgment, the right not to have a gun pointed at your head and be forced to do what someone else commands. And the right to the pursuit of happiness means that you may properly pursue your own happiness, that is, your own career, your own friends, your own hobbies, and not exist as a mere tool to serve the goals of others. The Founding Fathers did not proclaim a right to the attainment of happiness, knowing full well that such a policy would carry with it the obligation of others to make you happy and result in the enslavement of all to all. The Declaration of Independence was a declaration against servitude, not just servitude to the crown, but servitude to anyone. That some signers still own slaves does not negate the fact that they established the philosophy that dooms slavery. Now, political independence is not a primary. It rests on a more fundamental type of independence, the independence of the human mind. It is the ability of a human being to think for himself and guide his own life that makes political independence possible and necessary. The government, as envisaged by the Founding Fathers, existed to protect the freedom to think and the freedom to act on your own thinking. If human beings were unable to reason, unable to think for themselves, there would be no autonomy or independence for a government to protect. It is this independence that defines the American Revolution and the American spirit. To the Founding Fathers, there was no authority higher than the individual mind. Not King George, not society, not God. Reason, wrote Ethan Allen, is the only oracle of man. And Thomas Jefferson advised us to fix reason firmly in her seat and call to her tribunal every fact, every opinion. Question with boldness even the existence of a God. That is the meaning of independence. Trust in your own judgment, in reason. Do not sacrifice your mind to the state, the church, the race, the nation, or your neighbors. Independence is the foundation of America. Independence is what should be celebrated on Independence Day. That is the legacy our Founding Fathers left us. It is a legacy we should keep, not because it is a legacy, but because it is right and just.
Now, I hope you heard the entire clip. I noticed that one channel was not being broadcast, and I saw a note earlier that there might be an audio problem. We should be celebrating independence and the fact that we have freedom to pursue our lives as we see fit. But what's happening in the United States today? We really have two political parties that want the government to be bigger and bigger, have a much larger role in our lives, and really make you, the people of the United States, dependent on the government. That's not at all what the Founding Fathers were about. It's liberty, freedom, and the freedom to pursue your own interests. Now, yes, you can't pursue interests that are criminal against the law, but you have the freedom in the United States, even today, to make your own way, decide where you're going to work and who you're going to associate with, and simply it's none of the business of the government at all, unless you cross that line and engage in criminal activities. But the overwhelming majority of American people are law-abiding. But the danger is in the tyranny of a government that spies on its own people, and I'm going to briefly review the long-going and ongoing investigation as to what happened when it appears that the FBI, the Central Intelligence Agency, with the assistance of the National Security Agency, were engaged in a coup d'etat against a duly elected president. I'm talking President Trump. And they had their allies in what I call big lie media helping them. And that's a danger, folks, because if the state takes it upon itself, or people in the state take it upon themselves to spy, surveil the American people without getting a warrant or getting a warrant improperly, we're living in a tyranny. And the wrongdoers, and we know they're wrongdoers, need to be brought to justice. And I think that's going to happen. I really am very cautious about this, though. Because up to now, why many people have resigned or been demoted and then resigned from the government, and I'm talking the FBI, the Department of Justice in particular, there are many more that, oh yes, they left with the election of Donald Trump and his administration coming in. But you have a problem that the American people, many American people, are aware of. Many more are not. And that was one of the challenges when I was preparing some of the backup information. And let me, for new listeners, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is go to pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S .wordpress.com. And if you do that, underneath my photograph, you'll see links to the most recent shows, and usually they're 60 to 80. But below that, you'll see the stories I'm covering, or topics I'm covering, primarily stories, with a lot of background information or additional information. They're really, I like to call them pointers or references to more information, because I don't want to tell you what to think. There are people that do want to tell you what to think. And that's the problem. We have people that are ideologues that will and insist that you agree with them. And that's the problem with political correctness. They won't abide any dissent. The danger is when they're in the government or in a large organization. In other words, they politicize and try to suppress you from hearing any dissenting opinions. And that is a tyranny, whether it's in the United States or abroad. And we're not immune from it, not at all. So we should appreciate Independence Day. Now, I know many people, and I know it includes me, 4th of July are sales, and there are a lot of sales going on. If you watch television, you see the car sales, but furniture, mattresses seem to be big sale days, and people go out and wait for the 4th of July to maybe save some money. Nothing wrong with that, but I think it's more important to at least spend a few minutes thinking about the true meaning of Independence Day, and that's why I played that clip. I'd like to play, this is an actor playing George Washington. Obviously, we don't have video or audio on George Washington speaking, but reading parts of the Declaration of Independence.
John. Here, you've earned this.
People are signing the Declaration of Independence. Starting with John Hancock.
Sure you wrote it big enough?
Mm, yes, old King George should be able to see that.
George Washington.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, a decent respect requires that they declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And among these, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to establish new government. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, do and with the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare
that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved of all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. In the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
I recommend that you spend some time thinking, what is the 4th of July Independence Day really about? And I've given you some video clips just to remind you of that. I'm not going to be eating barbecue, and I'm not going to be watching a parade. But across this country, in small towns and large cities, there will be parades. In Washington, the big controversy is that Trump is politicizing the 4th of July. I got a kick out of hearing the news reports on this, because if any party or group of people have been politicizing many, many things, it is the Democratic Party and the far left. And that annoys people, because most people are not political or activists. They very much want to be left alone to do whatever they want to do, pursue happiness. And they're all upset that maybe some tanks will be used in the parade. Well, we've had a lot of parades in the United States through its history. And yes, the troops, the Army, the Navy, the Marines, the Air Force, to varying degrees, participate in the parades. And in Washington, it's usually at night that we see the, I call them firecrackers, exploding all over the sky. And you can see the various historic sites, the monuments, whether it's the Lincoln Memorial or the Jefferson Memorial. And it attracts large crowds and a large audience. But in the day, there can and is parades. And yes, we honor and salute our men and women in uniform that take part in these 4th of July celebrations, because it's the men and women of the armed forces that are protecting your rights under the United States Constitution, specifically the Bill of Rights. I don't think President Trump is trying to politicize it at all. I think he's trying to celebrate with the American people our Independence Day. We tend to forget or don't appreciate some of the protections, for example, in the Bill of Rights. And what I'm specifically talking about is the Fourth Amendment, your right for privacy. And the fact that if the police or the FBI, if they have justification, can go to a court and seek a warrant, a specific warrant, on you or your papers or your house. But it requires them to present the evidence in an open courtroom to a judge, and their representations must be true. In other words, you can't perpetuate a fraud on the court. And one of the reasons the founding fathers and their supporters revolted against the British Empire was the use of a general warrant. We don't have general warrants, or we didn't have until recently. Oh, we have them now. You see, the British could knock on someone's door and go in and search. And they could do it to an entire village looking for weapons. Didn't have to go to a court and get a specific warrant for a specific individual in a specific house. But apparently, the general warrant is back in fashion. And what you need to understand, to get a warrant from a court, there's a high standard. And those representations better be true, or the judge could cite you for contempt, even put you in jail. But it's an open situation, and it's specific. Now, how has the government today got around that? There's a special court set up called the FISA Court. FISA stands for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, Court. It is used by the FBI, Department of Justice, to get warrants on primarily, as the name suggests, foreigners from other countries around the world that are trying to spy, gather information, not necessarily just information, trying to engage in terrorist activities, but primarily spying and trying to steal our secrets. on our weapon systems, on our technology, and just general information on people. It's rather routine for the FBI to submit applications to these courts. They're highly secret courts. People are not aware where they are, although there's been some documentaries showing where they meet, at least the door. And yes, they're appointed by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and the judges are rotated. And this was set up to deal with specifically and primarily both terrorism and espionage by other countries in the United States. And obviously, they're classified, they're secret, some cases highly classified. And the person who is going to be surveilled typically does not know about it at all. The only way he would know about it, or just generally have a sense, if they're engaged in criminal activity and spying on, for example, our military or trying to get information on our weapon systems, the whole range, or get engaged in a terrorist activity either in the United States or abroad affecting United States citizens. Most of the time, like over 99.99% of the time, these warrants have been approved. What you've got to understand is there's the judge and the U.S. government, the Department of Justice and the FBI. And I've given you some background information, YouTube videos. I'm not going to play them. This has been around, over, I would say, 40 years. It was in the 1970s, as I recall, that these were set up. And I'm not kidding. Invariably, with very few exceptions, the warrants, it's like a rubber stamp. They're approved. But what's happened? And we've had several instances of this where the process has been abused. If you can't get a warrant in a normal court in the United States, federal court, that requires a high standard to be met. Then the far easier standard is to do what? Go to the FISA court and get it. It'll be approved. And that's dangerous. Because under this system, the names of U.S. citizens need not and should not be disclosed. What I'm getting at is you have people that are foreign agents. They're not up to any good. That are going to be interacting, communicating with U.S. citizens that are totally unaware of what the person is about. Might not even know the nationality, thinking they're Americans. So part of this process is to make sure that the names of American citizens that are caught up in this are not released and made aware by the public. Now, there are people that deal with raw intelligence, for example, the National Security Agency. Oh, yeah, they know the names because they have to listen to both sides of the conversations, just for an example, or both sides of the email communications. So they know who, for example, is on the other end of a telephone conversation. Let's say you have a Russian agent, speaks perfect English, and he's calling various American citizens. He's up to no good, but he's trying to get some information to enable him to accomplish whatever mission he's sent on. Most, if not all, these Americans are not committing crimes, and you're supposed to get a warrant if you're going to surveil them, but they don't do it in the sense of a normal, regular court. In other words, yeah, we're invading their privacy. The government is invading your privacy. They're not supposed to do that under the Constitution without going to a court and get a warrant. And you better have evidence to justify the search or the surveillance of the person. But that's not required under FISA. But they do take the step, at least on paper, to protect that source. Now, you have what's called consumers of intelligence. For example, the President of the United States, the White House, they're obviously getting intelligence estimates, intelligence summaries, analysis. And occasionally, and I mean rarely, but occasionally, they can, if they want to, ask that the person be unmasked. They need to know who is the U.S. citizen. This is seldom, almost never done. They really don't have a need to know at all. But in the closing days of the Obama administration, a lot of the names of American citizens were being unmasked because the United States government, the FBI, and the National Security Agency, and the CIA were conducting a surveillance on not only Donald Trump, but people involved in his campaign. Oh, yes, they had a warrant, not a specific warrant, but a general warrant from the FISA court. And towards the end of this, the Obama administration, they would go back to where this intelligence originated, primarily the National Security Agency, maybe the FBI, but primarily NSA, the National Security Agency. And they were getting the names. But why were they doing it? They were doing it for political reasons. They were spying on the American people. In other words, the whole FISA, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, was being abused. The whole system was being abused by your own government, by partisans in the FBI and the National Security Agency, most likely the Central Intelligence Agency as well, because they were trying to plant informers in the Trump campaign, especially in his inner circle. Now, I'm not going to go over again, because I've gone over this several times, but I'm airing this and giving you some background information, because I believe in the next 6 months, hopefully sooner, but definitely in the next 6 months, we should start to get more information as to who specifically was engaged in criminal activity in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Department of Justice, the White House, and the Central Intelligence Agency, and most likely as well the National Security Agency and the UN ambassador. These were partisans. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a partisan. What's wrong is using the assets, the people in the United States government, to illegally spy on American citizens. That's the crime. Spying, surveillance, when the person has done absolutely nothing wrong. They corrupted the FISA court process. And in so doing, there's a big question mark about the fact that the American people's privacy, even though they have the protections of the Fourth Amendment, you have people in power, high government officials, that are engaged in really unauthorized surveillance. Unauthorized in the sense that they didn't really have the authority to do this, because none of these American citizens were engaged in any criminal activity. See, that's the difference. If it's a crime, and you're alleging, the government is alleging that a person has engaged in criminal activity, and because of that, we need a search warrant, for example, their home or their office, they have to go to court and get it. And then when the police show up, they have to present the warrant to the person. We're here to search your home, office, and we have the judge signing the warrant. Now, it better be justified. In other words, you can't have people just making things up. But as we've seen in the last 2-3 years, we have big lie media that are making things up. Doesn't stop people. They think they can get away with it. See, the danger here is your freedom, your liberty, your rights are being challenged. Every day, the National Security Agency is getting, collecting everything that goes over the internet, everything that goes over telephone networks, including cell phones, and they're accumulating. Now, don't take it personally. They're doing this for everybody, everybody. Now, the alleged rationale for it, well, we have to protect the American people against terrorists. And I know there are a lot of Americans say, well, I'm a law-abiding citizen. If that's what's required to protect us, I'm willing to let them snoop. There's a problem, though. When challenged, okay, we hear why you are collecting all this information. Can you name, let's say, a couple of dozen instances where having this authority, and they do have the authority, folks, they are doing this right now in the United States. Every single thing that, for example, I'm broadcasting this show. They're going to have a copy of it. And when I post it online as a podcast, they're going to have a copy of it. They're surveilling me. Now, I don't take it personally, but if you're using the internet, all your communications are being stored on a server in one or more data centers. Does that mean they're reading or listening to your telephone conversations or email exchanges? The answer to that is no. You see, I believe we need a National Security Agency. We need an FBI. We need a Central Intelligence Agency. But the danger, and this is illustrating it, they can use it on foreign nationals that do not mean as well. But it's real clear that you better have a lot of justification, a lot of evidence before, and the authority, before you surveil or spy on American citizens. But here's the danger. If they make you a target, that's a key word, a target. Now, usually, who's made a target? Terrorists, people that are a group of terrorists, people engaged in criminal behavior. Espionage agents. Now, that makes sense. You would want those people to be targets. But what we have here is not a target in the usual sense it means. Let me make clear what I'm trying to say. The National Security Agency, together with other parts of the intelligence community, and there are more than a dozen, I'm not going to name them all, many of them are military intelligence. Their strategy is to collect everything. Ideally, they would like to collect all communications of every citizen in every country and store it. In other words, they need a lot. They need a lot of storage facilities to do this. Now, many of you are saying, "Well, this doesn't seem to make sense. It seems to be a waste of time and money to do it." Now, they'll come back and say, "Well, that's true, but at any time they can target you or me." What does that mean? Their software, it falls in the category of data mining. So once you're made a target, they'll assign an intelligence analyst as well, and he'll query or question using this software. And the first thing he's going to do is aggregate all the information, all the messages. And it's not just emails, images, videos, telephone conversations, you name it, they have it. And they're going to aggregate it or accumulate it in a file or a dossier. And then the intelligence agent is going to look at the information. What he's looking for is, who do you talk to? He's going to also look at your financial transactions, bank statements, deposits and withdrawals. And again, who are you communicating with? And they'll have all your personal information, all of it, from many, many databases. This becomes a very, very dangerous weapon. What they're doing is looking for leverage on you. Like I said, you could be law-abiding, but how can this be misused? Let's say you broadcast a podcast like I'm doing, and someone in power doesn't share my political philosophy. I'm a classical liberal. I believe in limited government, and they believe in big government and bigger government, and they would like to shut me up any way they could. No, I'm not paranoid. I'm just giving you an example of how this works. So they can pick me, you, or anybody else. They need some pretext, justification for it. That does not stop them because they'll lie about it. And for example, what are all the Democratic candidates for presidents advocating? Socialized medicine. That's what they're advocating. Single payer is socialized medicine. Who would pay your medical bills? If this got passed, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but they're not giving up. If it got passed in a central location, they would have all your medical information, all of it. Most people want to keep that private. It's their business. It's not the government's business, and it's certainly not someone else's business. See, the danger is, and some would argue, you don't have privacy anymore. Once you give any information to a so-called third party, it's no longer private. You don't have the Fourth Amendment right to privacy. Oh, yes, the Supreme Court needs to look at this, and it needs to be revisited, but that's one of the problems. The government is collecting as much information they can on everybody, including American citizens that supposedly, under the Fourth Amendment, have a right to privacy. What I'm telling you is your right to privacy is under attack by your own government. We have a secret surveillance state. Some would call it a police state. And if they come after you, they have near unlimited resources. Now, in matter of fact, they don't. But if you're a target and you're a priority, and you can be completely innocent, it could be a case of being incorrectly identified as, for example, you were at a certain location that, let's say, a bomb went off, and you weren't. You were home in bed, but hard to prove it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a dangerous, dangerous situation because we have people, I call them collectivists, that don't see the danger of big government. It always amazes me. They make corporations the boogeyman, if you will. Most corporations don't kill people. They don't. They're in the business of selling goods and services, and they don't kill their customers or clients. Who kills people? Governments kill people. All governments kill people. Sometimes it's completely justified. Many times it's not. And then you have the problem of authoritarian regimes, people in power that control us, and they don't want any dissent. You better toe the party line. And if you don't, we'll try to shut you up. And that's partly what they're doing. They have all this information. They've aggregated into a dossier, and they're looking for dirt on you or someone, a relative. It could be your children, your wife, a friend, any way they can, for example, shut you up. If you don't cooperate, we'll plant a news story. That's easy today. That your wife, your kid, or whatever is an alcoholic, a drug user, whatever it takes. And that's the jargon. The word, I would use blackmail, but they use the word leverage. We need leverage on them. Now, what is an example of an abuse that you've been hearing about if you listen to talk radio or Fox? Not so much big lie media, although I think that's going to change definitely within the next year and a half for sure. In other words, it's going to hit the fan. Now, I call it the Clinton-Obama-Democrat criminal conspiracy. There are people in the Obama administration, high government officials in the White House, including the president, his national security advisor, and many others, and people in the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, the Deputy Attorney General, Sally Yates, and others on their staff, and in the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI Director, James Comey, the Deputy FBI Director, Andrew McCabe, and others on their staff, the General Counsel of the FBI, James Baker, and a number of other people, such as Bruce Orr, his wife, Nellie Orr. Now, that's just within the government. They were involved in this conspiracy. And it's a real conspiracy. Note, I didn't say collusion. Conspiracy, if it involves criminal activity, is a criminal conspiracy. So when you're using people, assets of the U.S. government to spy on U.S. citizens, and you don't have a legal authority to do so, or if you do, you misrepresented the situation. In other words, you committed a fraud on the court. You're breaking the law. And what the Obama administration did, both before the election and after the election, is surveil Donald J. Trump and the people on his campaign. That is crossing a big, bright line. Now, some of them are going to say, well, we thought he was conspiring with the Russians. You see, you don't get to spy on people because, well, he might have done it. No, that's not grounds for spying on him. They came up empty because, like Donald says, I didn't do it. But that didn't stop him. Didn't stop big lie media either. They just peddle lies. They make it up as they go along. If they can't find leverage, they'll make it up. And that's what was going on. And their allies in big lie media are not really reporting this story. They're certainly not connecting the dots. You still have some independent investigative journalists as well as commentators. Some of this has been on television, Fox News primarily. I think Sean Hannity for sure has covered this. Some would say he's beat it to death, but he's right to focus in on this and bring in people that know of different parts of this conspiracy. The reason I'm going over this now is to alert you that we're going to learn a lot more. The president has made real clear that this should not happen to any other president in the future. I very much agree with that. But the only way you can stop it, or at least try to stop it, is to completely investigate, and where the evidence is justified, go to the grand jury for indictments, indict the people, and prosecute them in a court of law. It's not enough that they resigned or they left when the Trump administration came in, or they were fired or dismissed. Where felony crimes were committed, what the American people are demanding is those that were involved in this conspiracy brought to the bar of justice and let a jury of their peers weigh the evidence and decide whether they have committed crimes beyond a reasonable doubt or have not, just by looking at open source material that you can get online, whether it's YouTube videos or articles. And there's tons of information on this. It's not like this is one person giving his speculation. I must have done in the last couple of years at least probably 24 shows on this. But the problem that the American people I face, is when is the Department of Justice going to bring these people to justice? And many of them work for the Department of Justice. You see the obvious conflict. We have been told that a number of people have been assigned to this and they're investigating, and it's a very broad investigation. It's not just the Department of Justice or the FBI. That tells me it's the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, and the White House, the previous White House, people in the Obama administration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is by far the biggest political scandal in United States history. In my opinion, it was authorized by President Obama. Illegally authorized. They thought they could get away with it. Why? Everyone thought, it wasn't me, but everyone, nearly everyone, Democrats thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be the next president of the United States. And because they had that belief, they thought they could get away with it. They thought what they were doing would never see the light of day. The American people, including me, would know absolutely nothing about it. It would be swept under the rug. Oh, this was arrogance, and this was an abuse of power. But they were wrong. The American people decided, we like President Trump or candidate Trump better, and President Trump was elected because he got 304 electoral college votes. You only need 270. And because of that result, we're learning more and more and more each day of the biggest political scandal that the United States of America has ever seen. And it involves high government officials, the president, national security advisor, United Nations ambassador, unmasking is what I'm talking about, the attorney general, the deputy attorney general, and the FBI. And they were able, not that it was difficult, to get the FISA court to order this surveillance. Now, I could already hear it. Some of these low-level people are saying, well, excuse me, the president authorized this. And the president can authorize that. Let me stipulate that right up front. But that doesn't mean you have not committed a felony. You're not supposed to use the resources, the investigative resources, the FBI and the National Security Agency and the CIA to surveil or spy on U.S. citizens, whoever they are, unless you have what they call a predicate or a pretext to do it. They didn't, and they've been caught at it. And they're worried that with Attorney General Barr in place and the president demanding that this be followed wherever it leads. So if you were in the FBI or the Department of Justice and somehow you were involved in this and doing your job, you probably have nothing to fear. But where you knew you were misleading the FISA court, and that's where I think they're going to really be tripped up, because they didn't tell the court a couple of things, important things, so important they would never have gotten a warrant. What am I talking about? That the so-called Christopher Steele dossier was paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign and the Democratic National Committee. It was supposed to be opposition research to come up, ideally, with leverage, that word leverage, to be the knockout punch, the insurance policy, the knockout punch to ensure that Hillary Clinton won. Think of it as the October surprise. Now, they had more than one surprise. The big one was the Hollywood access tapes. And many people, not me, but many people, many Republicans at that point wanted Trump off the ticket. And the Democrats believed the American people, if once they heard Donald Trump making these statements, they would never elect him. Well, the American people felt betrayed by both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They were looking for an outsider because they were tired of being deceived, lied to, and not listened to. And because Donald Trump picked some of the right issues, mainly he wanted to stop the illegal alien invasion and send all the people in the last 33 years that have come here illegally home. And he communicated that clearly and often to the American people, such that they really came out to vote. They no longer trusted the Democratic Party that truly has betrayed them. They no longer really care about the American worker. What they really care about is the illegal aliens, or what they like to call the undocumented immigrants. They're not immigrants. They are not coming here legally. If you're coming to the United States illegally, you're not an immigrant. You're an illegal alien, and if you're caught, you're going to be prosecuted, and you'll be a criminal illegal alien, a convicted criminal illegal alien. So the American people were motivated to come out because they didn't trust Hillary Clinton, and that it comes right down to that. They saw her as a liar, someone you couldn't trust. And they certainly didn't trust big lie media. And let's be clear, they didn't really trust the Republican Party. They wanted someone from the outside. And that's exactly what Donald Trump was. He was primarily a real estate developer, but he came well known both not only in New York City, but also because of a show that I've never seen, The Apprentice, a very popular show. So the general public knew of him and knew he was outspoken, knew he was direct. So he became, think of it as a paladin, a people's paladin. He fought for the average American, the American worker. And they saw him as an outsider as opposed to a member of the political establishment elite. in Washington, D.C. They might not have liked his style. What they were interested in was results. And to the extent that Donald Trump gets results, he not only will get renominated, he will win a second term. And this will become clearer and clearer to the extent that the real criminal conspiracy, the Clinton-Obama criminal conspiracy, is revealed to the American people, where they finally connect the dots as people are tried in a courtroom and found guilty, guilty, guilty. But that requires evidence, that requires investigation, and that requires a will on the part of the Attorney General to reclaim the credibility that the Department of Justice and the FBI and the respect of the people once had for those institutions. I no longer trust them. And yes, the overwhelming majority of the people that work for the government are law-abiding. They're doing their job. But all it takes is a few rotten apples, bad cops, bad lawyers, corrupt, partisan, ideologues that truly believe that the end justifies the means. In this case, the end was to get Hillary Clinton elected and Donald Trump defeated. Or if that could not happen, get him impeached. And that's what you're seeing being played out right now. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. And the reason is simple. I'm for limited government, and both political parties have been corrupted. Yes, the Founding Fathers established a very unique nation, and they established it as a republic, a representative republic, not a democracy. Or a rule by a mob, or a rule by the majority, or a tyranny of the majority over a minority. But what do we have today? We have an empire, an American empire, that intervenes in country after country, and as a result has a national debt approaching $23 trillion, $23,000 billion. That's a lot of money. And what's happened over the last 80 years? Government has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. It's out of control. And we have really two parties that want to make it bigger and bigger. Doesn't matter if you vote Democrat or Republican. What remains to be seen is whether the criminal activity of the elite, so-called elite in Washington, those that were engaged in these crimes, will be brought to justice. I hope it happens. I'm cautiously optimistic that it will. But if it doesn't, maybe we should read the Declaration of Independence. Oh yeah, there is an out. I'll let you find the out. Because if the American people finally totally wake up and perceive that we have a tyranny, it is not their right, it's their duty to change it. So a lot of Americans are waiting to see if a few members of that so-called elite, I don't regard them as elite at all, those that were engaged in clearly criminal activity are brought to justice. And if they're not, all empires fall and the American empire will fall. You cannot go on spending way beyond the means of the American people for a government that they cannot afford. You cannot, for example, throw open the borders and let anyone that can get to the United States become citizens. The American people don't want that, but the elites in Washington do. Don't believe me? Listen to the Democratic Party debates. They want to open borders means giving citizenship to all the illegal aliens that are in the United States now, and they are encouraging to keep on coming. You've been betrayed. They have betrayed their oath of office. They are radical, extremist, Democrat, socialists. They're collectivists. They want power. They want to get power, stay in power, and control you and me. That's what they're about, and they believe that the ends justify the means, and that's why the end of electing Hillary Clinton justified in their minds the illegal means that they engaged in by using the government to surveil the American people. They have no shame. They think they were doing the right thing, and they still believe it. They're delusional, but they're fanatics, folks. They are fanatics. And Donald Trump better make sure that what he's saying is true, that this should not happen to any other president. It's up to him to make sure he delivers on that promise. Because many of his supporters, as well as people that didn't vote for him, are counting on him to do it. Wait and see. We live in interesting times, and it's going to get a lot more interesting now until Election Day, November 3rd, 2020. It's all about getting power, keeping power, and controlling you and me by using the government to get leverage on you and me. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful, my favorite song, and I wish you a happy 4th of July. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. With the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. And KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.